Dear friends, in today's passage of Holy Scripture, in Proverbs 4:7, we are instructed twice to get wisdom, The wisdom, of course, that it is referring to is the wisdom that comes from God alone, through the Holy Bible. We must get wisdom. The wisdom of God gives us a knowledge of our own sinful hearts and a knowledge of our responsibility towards our Maker. We must, with everything that we've got, get this wisdom. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Friends, worldly wisdom in the long run cannot profit anyone, can it? It cannot overcome death because it takes no interest in the matters of the soul and the matters of Christ and eternity. In fact, if worldly wisdom is sought at the great neglect of heavenly wisdom, then, dear friends, it will prove to be our greatest stumbling blocks. Many, many people, dear friends, are headed to hell today because they esteem man's words more than God's words. How ridiculous is it to think that out of nothing came all that we see, all that we have, out of nothing? Of course there is a God. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Where is the wise? Where are those great intellects our society has looked to throughout the ages that have put their trust in man's thinking, in man's philosophy, and man's science, and all these things? Where are they now? There's no memory of them when they're in the grave. It's gone, friends. They have not the keys to life, the matters of the heart, the matters of death, the matters of eternity. Where is their wisdom? Where is the wise? Friends, there will be many learned people, such as scholars and academics and professors, and dare I say, even many worldly theologians who will be cast into hell because they have made the intellect of man, man's wisdom, their God and their trust. The wisdom that we need, and that which is recommended to us by Solomon, who is inspired of God in his writings, is the wisdom which comes from above, which his father David diligently taught him, a man after God's own heart, a man who was saved as a youth, as a ruddy youth, as it were. The Lord saved him as a shepherd boy, and he is diligently teaching his son the ways of God. Such heavenly wisdom does not come naturally to us. It must be sought after and given from up on high. We're alienated by our sins, friends. True wisdom from God is a gift. Solomon earnestly asked for wisdom from the Lord God. He did not ask for riches. He did not ask for honor. He did not ask for health nor wealth. He asked for wisdom, didn't he? And the Lord answered his prayer and gave him the request of his heart. And those who truly want to know of God savingly through Christ and know of the power of God must be willing to forsake the world's way of thinking, man's wisdom, for God's wisdom through the Bible. You must, friends, no one that comes to God through Christ can bring man's wisdom with them. For it's written, isn't it? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You see, many people who profess to be Christians still are living in the world. They are still living in their own understanding, friends. The text just says we must abandon what we think, our own opinions, what we think is right, and we must look to God and His way of salvation and what He has said in His Word, the Bible, the biggest selling book of all time. We must look to Him and not come up with our own ideas of what we think is right. It must therefore be God's divine wisdom which we must get here, and not man's version of how to be saved, and not the world's way of salvation. Get wisdom, Solomon says. Heavenly wisdom. Wisdom which is in the Scriptures. This is what we need to get. Now friends, God's words to us this morning tells us to get it. To get wisdom. That word get is incredibly important. Why? Why is it? Because like I said, the wisdom of God is not something which comes naturally to us. We are alienated from God because of our sins. And when the glorious gospel is preached and expounded and truly met with a believing heart, we understand that our sin alienates us from God. It separates us from God, like the light from the darkness, as it were. Therefore, it must be diligently sought after. Jacob, of course, sought after the Lord's blessing, didn't he? He wrestled all night, as it were, and knew of the Lord's blessing. Matthew 6:33 comes to mind, doesn't it? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Not your own righteousness, His righteousness. The righteousness which comes from above. The righteousness of the Word of God. Jesus' righteousness. Not your own righteousness. Not my righteousness. The righteousness which comes from Christ. Dear friends, that's what we need. But hold on, you may say to me, preacher. Have you not told us before that a man is saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and it's not of themselves? Yes, I have. I have said that. Salvation, it evidently is of the Lord. However, the grace of God does not discount the duty of man to seek after this grace and this favor. We must seek God's grace and favor that we may be found in it. We must say as Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. Where will we go? I've been shown that in myself and in the wisdom of the world that there is no hope for me. Man's words can never satisfy the longing soul. Where can I go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We must get the soul-saving wisdom which is in Christ and which is in His holy word, the Bible. The Apostle Paul said to young Timothy, didn't he? As we read earlier, 2 Timothy 3:15, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. Now, dear friends, what does hinder and stop you from getting such wisdom that comes from God this morning? What does hinder you from seeking first the kingdom of God? From seeking that wisdom which can save your soul from an eternity of hell? What does hinder you this morning? Well, let me tell you from the authority of God's word that it is your unbelief that hinders you. Unbelief lies at the bottom of our greatest problem, friends. Unbelief is the reason why countless, many millions of professing Christians are not truly converted and born of the Holy Spirit of God in the comfortable Christianity which has engulfed the West. It's unbelief. That's what it is. Unbelief is the reason why many professing Christians conform more to the world's way of thinking, more to the world's way of doing, and not according to the Bible. Unbelief is at the bottom of all these things.
Love not the world, says the Lord Jesus in 1 John 2:15, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
If you love the world more than Christ, I can say with the authority of God's word this morning that you're not a Christian. Christ must be first in your life. His word must be your rule and your guide, a light unto your feet, a lamp unto your path. Can you say that? Or do you just, is your salvation man's way of salvation?
Well, I know of God, I know the knowledge of God, but you've truly have not submitted to God's word.
Be honest now with your Megan. It doesn't matter to me. It matters to God, though, because one day we will all stand before our Maker in judgment. Are you truly converted? Have you received the wisdom of God that comes through with great power into the heart? Do you know the power of God in your heart, the converting power? You see, before I was converted, I was brought up as a Christian by my mother. My father forsook our family when I was 14, divorced my mum. I thought I was a Christian for many years. I wasn't a Christian. I went to church. I had a knowledge of God. I knew nothing of the power of God. But on that train in Italy, when truly I believed in God, that's when I was converted. That's when I felt the power of God in Christ completely changing my life. It will transform your whole life. Your direction will completely change. How's that happened to you? Be honest now with your Maker. Like I said, it doesn't matter to me. My concern is with your soul, friends. Has the Word of God come in power? Have you been truly converted? It must be the case, friends. Unbelief is at the bottom of it, you see. Trying to get right with God through the back door of works. Trying to get right with God, just I know the things, but I haven't been converted. I haven't been born of the Spirit of God. I'm still doing things my way. I'm not governed by the Word of God. There's no true love for Christ in your heart. This cannot be, friends. This cannot be. Do you love Christ and His words more than the things of this passing world? Is Christ your world and your all in all? Is He better than life itself? Well, that's what happens when the love of Christ comes in your heart. It takes the scales from your eyes like it did with Saul. It melts them. The love of Christ. Oh, friends, do you know of the love of Christ? Do you know of it? Jesus said, didn't He? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Many, many millions of people will say on that great and terrible day of the Lord's return, Lord, Lord. And what will be the Lord's response? Why is this? Why will many people come and will not be accepted? Because of unbelief. They have truly not sought the righteousness, the wisdom from above. They have tried to go to heaven a different way, a back doorway. That is not the way, friends. Not everyone is an Israelite who is an Israelite indeed. Because not everyone follows in their father, Israel, Jacob's footsteps, who walk by faith alone in the Messiah, believing in the Messiah. He walked by faith alone. In God's word alone. Not everyone who calls himself a Christian is a Christian indeed. Because they do not walk by faith, believing in Christ's finished work upon the cross of Calvary alone. There has been no change in their life, no change in direction at all. There's no conviction of sin and turning from sin and forsaking it and trusting in Christ. Christ said himself, didn't he? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful things? Well, surely
people have done these things, they must know Christ. But what does the Lord say? And then I will profess unto them. This is what they profess. This is their profession. Well, what does Christ say? He says, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. I never had a real relationship with you. You were just a Christian in name, weren't you? You didn't really know the power. You had one foot in the world, didn't you? And one foot in Christ. You said that you were a Christian, but you never were you? I never knew you. I was never number one in your heart. You never sought me the most. You never knew the power of my salvation. I never knew you. What a tragedy, friends. Making light of God's wisdom. Making light of God's word. Why will the Lord profess to many that he never knew them? Why would he do this? Especially as they claim to know him. Especially as they claim to believe on his name and to have done many wonderful works in his name. Why? Well, the sad truth is, friends, because their form of Christianity was more about them than it was about God, than it was about Christ. And don't we see this all around us? In the comfortable Christianity we have here in the West, it's all about them. It's not about Jesus Christ, is it, friends? Because when Christ comes into the heart, it comes with power, saving power, transforming power, holy power that changes lives. And we walk by faith and trust in the Word of God, not in the world anymore. This is power, friends. Unbelief is the reason why, friends. Unbelief is at the bottom of it. Unbelief is the reason why so many churches have departed from the Word of God into charismatic Christianity. And so it's a worldly contemporary music. Unbelief is at the bottom of it. You cannot Christianize rock music and rap music and hip-hop music and bring the profane into the Church of Jesus Christ and try to make it holy. You cannot do that. God has forbidden it. But why do so many Christians do that nowadays? Unbelief. Unbelief. Unbelief is the reason why so many professing Christians are so worldly, who have such a light view of the law of God. Well, one might say, I'm no longer under the law anymore. Oh, but Christ says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Because if you're truly converted, if you truly know the power of God reigning in your heart, and you have Christ and the Holy Spirit, it makes you holy. There's a change. You love the law after the inner man of Christ. You esteem the law. You love it. You're no longer under the condemnation of the law, because Christ has suffered. He has kept the law on your behalf and has paid the penalty of your law breaking. But you love the law. You've been made free to live for Christ freely because of his love. You love to do the law after the inward man of Christ. Do you love the law of God? Or do you just live in unbelief? Just carrying on in sin, breaking the law of God. And you may put on a show when you come to church, perhaps, or amongst other believers. But in your heart, you're not converted. You do not keep the Lord's Day holy. The Lord's Day is not hallowed in your heart. It often is profaned. You do what you want on the Lord's Day. You go to the shops, as it were. You don't go to a Bible-believing church. You don't love the Lord. Parents allow their children to watch worldly entertainments, worldly TV games. This is unbelief, friends. This is unbelief. Unbelief is the reason why so many Christian fathers do not lead their families in daily family worship. Instead, they stick on the sports, they veg in front of the TV, put on a nice cooking program, veg out, as it were. This is unbelief, friends. There's no power in that. I'm not talking perfectionism here. I'm talking about the power of the Holy Spirit to change someone's heart. Are you converted? Are you born again of the Spirit of God, friends? It must be the case. Unbelief is the reason why so many professing Christian wives do not and will not submit to their husbands. They believed in the lie of feminism. They hold more to feminism than to Christ. That's unbelief, isn't it, friends? It's unbelief. They believe in the lie of feminism, as it were. And I'm not, again, I'm not talking about perfectionism here. It's sad to say that so many professing Christian men don't have a spiritual backbone in leading their families anymore. It's a sad state of affairs. We live in perilous times, dear friends. You know, I once met a Christian lady in a church, and she abruptly came up to me and said, "Well, I never knew how to submit to my husband, and I had to bite my tongue, really. I had to bite my lip. Because if you've never known how to submit unto your husband, you've never known how to submit unto the Lord. Because the Lord God says that we are to submit as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. Children submit to their parents as unto the Lord, because God's word says so. Because this is the wisdom of God, you see. But of course, in our modern culture, we don't need that, do we? We parents let children grow up their own ways. Let them find their own paths in life. This is man's wisdom, isn't it, friends? We have departed from the word of God. Has the word of God come in power? Has it changed you in your heart, friends? Unbelief is the reason why so many professing Christians have no problem with being unequally yoked in marriage. Well, I can marry whoever I want, as it were. I can marry a worldling who has no love for Christ. That's unbelief, isn't it, friends? It is unbelief. Unbelief is the reason why so many professing Christians remain uncommitted to the local church, the bride of Christ, where God's power is displayed, where people are used of God. That's unbelief, isn't it? Uncommitted to Christ's bride? You're uncommitted to Christ, friends. That's a truth of Scripture. Unbelief is the reason why so many professing Christians have no heart for the lost anymore. No heart. What is the reason why? It's because they are lost themselves. Is that at the bottom of it? The words of Timothy 2:3, which we read earlier, perfectly sum up the state of the Christianity we live nowadays. It says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves. Lovers of themselves. And it goes through that list, doesn't it? Lovers of pleasures more than loves of God. Boasters, etc. It goes through blasphemers. And then it goes on to say, having a form of godliness. And then what? But denying the power thereof. Denying the power of God through Christ. Just a name. Just a Christian in name. Just a Christian in name. How tragic, friends. How tragic. God is real. Jesus Christ lives, and he lives today. He is risen from the dead. He was seen by his disciples afterwards. He is alive over victory, over sin and death. And would you neglect so great a salvation? Would you not be moved to believe in the gospel, to believe in Jesus Christ? You can know of the wisdom and the power of God through believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the day, this day from your sins. You can know of the power if you would but believe and no longer hold to your own understanding, no longer hold to what you think is right. Cast your filthy rags of righteousness behind you and stand up and believe in Jesus Christ and cry to him. He is risen with healing in his wings, and he can save you. He promises that if you forsake your sin and look to him, he will save you. And you will know for sure of the power of his resurrection, the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling in you. And there will be a noticeable change and difference in your life. From the carnal to the spiritual. From the worldly to the things of Christ and eternity. Has that happened? Has Christ saved you? Has your trajectory in life changed? Do you know the power of Christ, friends? What are you going to do about sin? What are you going to do about your sin? What are you going to do about the consequences of your sin? Death. Death is coming, friends. Death is stalking every single one of us. The wages of our sin is death. What will you do about death? Man doesn't have an answer to death. Man's wisdom doesn't have an answer to the tragedy of your heart. Man's word can never fill the longing soul. The broken systems of this world can never ever satisfy you, friends. Man's word doesn't have an answer. God's word does. God's wisdom does. Come to Jesus Christ at once, today, and no longer look to yourself and your own understanding. Repent of your sin and your unbelief, and look to Jesus Christ, the Savior, the risen one, the one that can save you. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He is risen. Do you believe in that? Do you know of the power of God in your heart? Do you know the power of His name to save you? Do you know the power of His love melting your heart, melting the scales from your eyes, opening your eyes to the truth? Has His love melted your heart? That stony heart I once had, I had for many years. Has it melted your heart? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe in that? Or is it just you, preacher, again? Just words? Just man's words? This is serious, friends. This is serious. Don't go away this day unless you know the power of God and the wisdom of God and Christ that is transformed. Don't go. Eternity is too long, friends, and the torment too great. Imagine a place for all eternity where all God's, and this is, you don't have to imagine it because this is going to be a reality. Hell is a place where all common grace is removed. Every good thing that you've enjoyed here down below, being loved by a loved one, that's of God. Being a kind word, a bird being sung, a tasty morsel, every good thing comes from the Father of lights, from the fount of all blessing. That in hell will be removed. Every good thing, common grace, will be removed. Hell is a place for those who have neglected the gift of God. And when a million years are up, and you're still being tormented like the rich man was with Lazarus, you're still being tormented over your sin, a million years are up, and you've still got eternity to come. All God's common grace is completely removed. How? A real place, a real location for those who do not know the power of God. Those who have made light of the wisdom of God. Oh, friends, would you take it seriously? Would you take it seriously? Do you know of the love of God? Do you know of the peace of God that passes all understanding? All understanding. Puts everything into perspective. Everything. All your troubles pale into insignificance. Do you know of that? I can honestly say that when the Lord saved me on that train in Italy, that everything just paled into insignificance. Yes, I've got responsibilities and duties, but everything else paled into insignificance. It doesn't matter. I've got Jesus. I've got the one who has loved me from the foundations of the world, who's loved me like no other has loved me, who's died for me, a sinner, a hell-deserving sinner. I have no right to eternity, but He has loved me freely and died for me. He has given me the gift of salvation. I am compelled now through His love and through His Holy Spirit to love Him. Has it been met with power? Has it? Do you know of the justice and holiness of God? Do you know that God is a holy God? He cannot look upon sin. He hates sin. Every sin has to be punished. Friends, none of our sins will be allowed to get into heaven. There is no sin. None of our darkness, our dark thoughts, our dark deeds, our dark words, our dark imaginations, none of those things can get into heaven. Sin must be dealt with. Jesus Christ stepped in the way, didn't he? Friends, we don't even know it, friends. What it cost a Savior of the world to be made sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. We don't even know half the story, friends. What it cost God to lay down His own Son, His only begotten Son, who is everything to Him, who He had communion throughout eternity, to lay down His holy Son as Abraham laid down His begotten Son. As a picture, wasn't it? The Lamb of God taketh away the sins of the world. What was the believing Jew to do? The believing Jew was to put his hands upon the Lamb. He believed in the Messiah. His sins would be imputed to the Lamb. And the Lamb would be crucified and sacrificed. Blood must be spilt. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ came to take away our sin. Blood must be spilt. Sin is so destructive, friends. It ruins everything in our life. It brings divorce, heartache, every wicked thing in our life. It must be dealt with. Have you taken sin seriously? It comes from your heart. Out of the heart come these things, friends. Have you taken it seriously? Has God shone a light in your heart today and shown your sin? By the wisdom of God, it's nothing got to do with me. I'm just a poor wretch saved by grace. It's all of Him, friends. It's only when you look outside of yourself and your own better opinion of yourself and your own ideas to His wisdom and His way of salvation alone. Look unto me, all ye ends of the world, and be saved. You must, friends, you must. Justice has been done. A Lamb has been provided. The divine justice of God was settled on Christ. He has paid the full cost of salvation. His righteousness is imputed upon you, given to you. He will no longer look upon your failures, your sins, a lifetime of failures. He will look upon His Son, His precious Holy Son. And so when you believe upon His powerful name for the forgiveness of sins, He will look upon you. And He will see His Son's righteousness. He will see the blood of His Son that cleanses you from all sin. He will see that His Son has had the victory over sin and death. And there's power in that, friends. He has risen. Do you believe in that? Friends, do you know the wisdom of God which comes with great saving power? These are not man's words. These are not man's words. These are God's words. We must take them seriously, friends. Be honest now with your Maker. What has the wisdom and the false gods and the false idols of this world ever brought you? What has man's words ever brought you? Fleeting money, fleeting pleasures, maybe. Has it ever brought you lasting peace and contentment with God? Be honest now. Do you have peace with God? Do you know assuredly that you're His? Has it come with power? Or do you know deep down within there's an emptiness, isn't there? Isn't there? There's a void within. I know that, friends. I know the heart. Because God has shown me my own heart. I had this emptiness and this void for many years. Many years. I said I was a Christian, but you know what? Deep down, there was an emptiness. There was a void in my heart. I tried to fill it with the things in this world. But friends, nothing could ever satisfy that. Nothing, friends, could ever fill that void within. Can the world's wisdom save us from the grave? The power of the grave? It cannot, friends. I preach unto you this day Christ and Him crucified for the forgiveness of sins, who is the power of God and who is the wisdom of God. Would you believe in it? Would you believe the record true which talks about in Isaiah 53 that he was a man acquainted with grief and sorrows? Do you believe in that prophecy? 500 or so years before the prophesied Savior. Do you believe in it? Has it come with power?
For why would you die? Why would you die? Why would you carry on living in sin? Does the wisdom of this world and your sin and the love of it mean that much to you that you will suffer for eternity in hell because you love your sin and the world's wisdom that much? Does it mean that much to you? That God would show you your sin and your great need of His wisdom and of His saving power through Christ. Or that the scales of your eyes would melt, and that you may see the love of Christ. That you may see that no one has ever loved like Christ has loved. Love that's stronger than death. Have you seen that? Has the scales melted from your eyes? Friends, Christ has loved us like no other has loved us. A love stronger than death. A love that doesn't upbraid us, that doesn't look upon our sins and faults. He loved us when we were in sin, when we were rebels against God. He loved us. Do you know this love? This powerful love. This overcoming love. Do you know of it? You must. Would you come today as the thief on the cross came? Didn't he? He was before scorning the Lord. He was with everyone else, wasn't he? Mocking the Lord, scorning of the Lord. And then what happened? He heard people say, "This is the Son of God." He says he is the Son of God. He can save them. If he saved them, come down. Come down and save himself. They said, "He is the Son of God." And then it clicked in him. It clicked in his mind. Grace came into his heart. This is the Son of God. Look at him. This is the prophesied Messiah. This is the one who has power to die and to forgive me my sins. This is the Christ. Power came. The wisdom of God came with great power then. This is the Son of God. This is the prophesied Messiah. This is him suffering for me. And what did he say? "Lord, remember me. Remember me. Remember me." He didn't say, "Save me," because he was a sinner. He was a hell-deserving sinner. He knew that his sin was, it deserved hell. What did he say? "Remember me." In other words, I don't deserve to know you as Lord and Savior. I don't deserve a place in heaven. Just remember me. Have mercy upon my soul. And the Lord said to him, "This day thou wilt be with me in paradise." This day, because he believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, dying and suffering for his sin according to the scriptures, and that he has power to save him from his sin, and that day he was in glory with the Lord. Will you believe? Will you believe? Or will you go home this day unbelieving? The devil wants to take that seed of the Word of God. As soon as you leave this place today, he is ready to take that seed out of your heart and to put all manner of distractions in front of you. Will you cultivate it? Will you truly receive the Word of God this day with power? And will you seek first the kingdom of God? Our hope and praise him. I really, really do. Solomon speaks of the effects, doesn't he, of when such heavenly wisdom through Christ is met with belief. Verse 6 says, "Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." This is what true wisdom does. It almost speaks as if wisdom is a godly wife, the bride of Christ. Christ gave his holy life, as it were, for his bride, the church. And so it's almost speaking. It speaks of the love of God, doesn't it? Christ loved his church. He gave himself. "Forsake her not, she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." God, Jesus Christ, gave his loved his wife, his bride, the church, so much he gave his life for it. "Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." The wisdom of God will keep you, friends, with great power. Verse 7, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom.
and with all thy getting, get understanding. Understand your condition. Understand that you need the Lord. Verse 8, exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Verse 9, she shall give to thee thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver thee. Verse 10, 11, 12, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, godly wisdom. Yeah. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Verse 13, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. The wisdom of God, the knowledge and instruction of God, you must not let go. Don't let go today, friends. Please. Take fast hold of instructions. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Life. True life. True purpose and meaning in life. Knowing your place in the universe. Knowing the love of God. Knowing the peace of God. Do you know it? Do you know the power of God, friends? I set before you this day life and death has been set before you. Which way are you going to choose? Life in Christ and in the wisdom of God, or man's ways? Man's ways. I really hope and pray that you choose life in Christ. Amen.
Oh,